Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
It is always a joy for me to share God's word. Psalm 119 encourages me so much. It says this, that the entrance of his word gives light, and it also gives understanding to the simple hearted. So let us pray right now that God's word will give light and understanding for everyday living. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you for your word. I pray that the entrance of your word today will give light. Give us clarity. But also may the entrance of your word give understanding on how we ought to live every single day. So we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And every one of us say amen and amen. I'm really excited about the book that we're doing, the book of Ephesians. It's a very beautiful book. We are journeying through the book of Ephesians, and so far we've done three chapters, and today we want to get into chapter 4. So would you open your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians? In fact, would you do just one more thing? I know you rarely do this, but stand to your feet wherever you are for the reading of God's word. I'll be reading from the Anglicized New International Version, and this is what it reads. Verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the call you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given us, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who also ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave to be some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together and held by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. This portion of scripture is so amazing. I actually do enjoy it quite a bit because Paul is now becoming practical. In chapter 1, we see Paul teaching us on how, helping us appreciate that we are privileged, we are blessed, we have a position in the house of God. We are sons and daughters, we are children of the Most High. He tells us we have spiritual blessings. Wow, what an amazing truth right there. In chapter 2, he helps to remind us that without Christ, we are all condemned to destruction. But by the grace of God, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are saved. That's a miracle in itself. And then following that into chapter 3, he helps us to appreciate the fact that the Jew and the Gentile are now one. By the same grace that Christ gave to everybody else, we have been brought into oneness with the Jews. There's neither Gentile nor Jew. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So beginning at verse 1, Paul says this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a way that is worthy of the calling which you have been called. In other words, now that based on the fact that you know who you are, you know whose you are, you know what you've been called to, live out in such a way that it reflects your new nature. Begin to to live out your faith practically wherever you may be. Walk in a way that is worthy. In other words, your life should reflect your Father in heaven. Your life should reflect the new nature that you have found in God. And that's what Paul is trying to teach us in this regard. Basically, kind of like saying what James says, that faith without action is dead. Now we need to put action to our faith. We need to let our deeds so shine that men will see good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Wow. So there's two key things that I want to draw out from this portion of scripture that Paul is encouraging and challenging you and I to begin to live by or to begin to do. And the very first one is this: maintain the unity of the Spirit. Verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. I mean, it is obvious that this unity is not a treaty signed on a paper. It is obvious this unity is not man-made. It is a spiritual unity. People from all walks of life, people from all kinds of situations, black, white, maroon, purple, whatever you want to call it, have all been brought together by this one Holy Spirit. You see, what unity is harmony. It is being of one accord, having the sameness of mind and purpose. Unity also is bringing together different parts to make one whole. I want you to think about a vehicle, if you would, for a moment. Think about a car. A tire is not a car, nor is the engine a car. In fact, I'm reminded of my own story when I was growing up. We used to roll car tires, you know, we would roll them wherever we are going, and we would make those sounds, boom, 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 because we're excited about cars and we enjoyed cars. But let me tell you this, those tires were not cars. We were just rolling them. Thank God today I drive a car that has tires on it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is this, that for a car to be a car, all the parts need to be assembled into one to be called a car. That is what unity is. So when we are speaking about unity in the body of Christ, we mean that no matter your race, your color, your tribe, your ethnicity, as long as you're in Christ Jesus, you have been brought into his body and you have been united with everybody else into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul helps us to appreciate this. He says, do everything you can to maintain this oneness. Why does he say this? Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is one body, the church. There is one church. There is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. One hope, eternal life. That's what it is. One Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. One faith. We believe only one true gospel. One baptism. We've been consecrated to God and for God. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So Paul is saying, maintain this unity, because this unity has been forged and created by the Holy Spirit. And if you notice from that portion, there is one of everything. Ultimately, there is one God and Father of all. We've been brought into one church. Maintain that unity. I love the illustration of my own family. My wife and I are of different tribes. I'm from northern Uganda. She's from southwestern Uganda. Historically, I grew up knowing that people from southwestern Uganda never really like to intermarry with people from other tribes. So obviously, I went in with a bit of caution, thinking, oh, well, let me just go in this and see what the Lord will do for me. But you know what? I thank God. My wife didn't have that mindset. Because of the power of the gospel of Jesus, together now we are one. Have amazing children. Why? Because of the power of the gospel of Jesus. I love her people. Her people love me so much. Let me tell you, this could have only been possible through the Holy Spirit. We must do whatever it takes to maintain the unity of the Holy Spirit. And there's two real reasons why we must continue to do this. In John chapter 17 and verses 20 to 23, I will not go there. You can do the reference on your own. We see two things. One is that when Jesus was praying, he said, Lord, make them one as we are one. In other words, as the church maintains unity, together we reflect the nature and the character of God. God is three persons in one. Now, I can't explain the Trinity. I don't know anyone who can fully explain the Trinity. But we can take clues that there's three gods in one. Actually, three gods in one and one God in three persons. So when we as a church maintain unity, we are simply reflecting who our God is. He's a united one. And more than just reflecting the unity of the Trinity, the second thing we see Jesus helping us appreciate with this unity when he was praying, he says, make them one like we are one so that the world will know that you sent me. In other words, the unity of the church is a witness of the power of the gospel of Jesus. It is a witness to the fact that Jesus came to this world and he died on that cross, paid the price for our sins, and now today we have become a one people. Wow. So in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew, nor Greek, nor Gentile. There is neither Acholi, Lango, Muganda, Muchiga, you name it. Whether you're African, American, European, Asian, as long as in Christ Jesus, we are one. In fact, I love this saying, there's only one race, it's the human race. And if you want to see that one race, it is found in the church, in the body of Christ, because that unity has been brought in by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Paul goes ahead to help us that if we're going to maintain this unity, we must be a people that embrace a new mindset. We must have a new attitude in all of this. And he gives us three things as the new attitudes that we need to be able to adopt in order for us to foster this unity. Three things. In verse 2, it says this. Paul says this, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Wow. Paul was a very simple man. And I want to expound these three things very briefly. He says, be humble. I want you to ask yourself a question. Because the opposite of humility is pride, or of being humble is being proud. Have you ever found unity where there is pride? Where there's arrogance? Where there's boasting? No, I haven't. In fact, to experience and foster unity, we need to be humble. Because to be humble means you don't think of yourself any more highly than you ought to. Romans 12 and 3. In other words, you and I need to look at ourselves and the people around us through the lens of God. What does God think about that person? What does God think about me? To be humble means that you consider the fact that it is only by grace that you have been saved. Don't have an exaggerated mind of who you are just because your gift is more pronounced, or because you're wealthier, or because you're beautiful. That shouldn't make you feel any much better than anybody else. No. If anything, you should thank God that you have what you have. Stay humble. Scripture says God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. Be humble. But the second thing Paul says is this. Be gentle. To be gentle is not to be harsh. It's not to be rude. It is to be courteous. It is to be tender-hearted. It is to consider others before yourself in that sense. That's what to be gentle is. In fact, someone put it this way, that humility is the attitude and gentleness is the outworking of humility. Ask someone to excuse you or say thank you or be kind to somebody else. When you see someone in need, come on, step out of your way and meet their need, being gentle. And as you meet each other's needs in the body of Christ, guess what will happen? As you meet each other's needs in the body of Christ, guess what will happen? You are fostering unity. That's just what it is. Be humble, be gentle. But thirdly, be patient. Patience is that quality that helps you to endure under a trial, to endure under a persecution. That's what patience is all about. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us to be patient. And so what it means in this particular regard, when Paul is saying, be patient, he even adds the line, bearing with one another in love. In other words, your patience is geared towards making room for each other's errors, making room for each other's weaknesses, making room for each other's shortcomings. I am not perfect. You are not perfect. Therefore, we need to give room for each other. That doesn't mean I should celebrate their weakness. No. It simply means that as I am graciously enduring your situation, guess what? I'm also helping you get up. And as we embrace the mindset of humility, as we embrace the mindset of gentleness and embrace the mindset of patience, we will foster unity. We will maintain this unity. So let me challenge you today, my brother, my sister, would these become a part of who you are so that together we will maintain the unity that Christ has called us to? But the second thing that I see Paul encouraging and challenging us to do is to contribute our gifts. Each one of us needs to contribute our gifts. In verse 7, the scripture says this, that but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What Paul is saying in this is that every one of us has a gift. Every single one of us has a gift. In fact, when you read Romans chapter 12, 3, all the way to about verse 8, you will see that Paul says that we are members of the same body with different functions. There's a gift of generosity right there, of giving. There's a gift of service. Others call that the gift of hospitality. Others is a gift of leadership or the gift of administration. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly list out all the gifts, but at least we know this. Every single one of us, every single one of us has a gift. And you can't run from this. What Paul is saying in this particular verse here is that we must all, as we read later on, that we must all contribute our gifts. So listen to what he says in verse 11. And when he says this in verse 11, he's really just bringing up these five gifts to help us appreciate how these five gifts help the body of Christ to help itself. So watch this with me. It says in verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Who are these guys? Their role, the ultimate purpose that God gave these gifts to these ministers here, is to equip God's people for the work of ministry. As they contribute their gift of pastoring, as they contribute their gift of being a prophet or an apostle, it is to prepare you to do the work of the ministry. And in turn, as you are equipped, guess what happens? You also contribute your gift. The apostle is the one who is sent out. He always goes out to new territory or to a place that the Lord has sent him. They establish new congregations, raise up ministers, and move on. The prophet is the one to whom and through whom God speaks. He receives divine revelation from God. He receives and communicates God's heart to his people. Please mark that word. He communicates God's heart, not his thought, not the devil's thought, but God's thoughts and God's heart to his people to direct them. The evangelist is the preacher of the gospel. Their passion is to win people to Christ Jesus. The pastor is the one who guides and cares for the well-being of the believers God has given to him. The teacher is the one who gives instruction on the application of the word. He imparts knowledge or skill to the believers. One thing you need to know, friends, is this, that no single gift can operate effectively on its own. We all need each other. I want you to think about it this way. If you are to pick up a bottle of water with your pinky finger, it's going to be difficult. So you need to add maybe the second finger. Yeah, you'll be able to do that, right? A little bit, but using the top part where the cork is. And then you use the third finger. But imagine you had to use all your fingers. Your grip will be easier. Think about it this way. As I'm holding, I can't carry this with my pinky finger. Nor can I carry this really with my... I can add the third one, but it's a lot of strain. I may add the fourth one, but when I do that, guess what? They are working in harmony. And that's the same. God has given these gifts, these five gifts. We normally call them the fivefold ministry gifts. These gifts to the church that we might empower you to do the ministry, that you might contribute your own gift to the body of Christ. And you see, you're not just contributing this gift for the sake of contributing this gift. Read with me what it says. In verse 12, it says, to prepare God's people for the work of the ministry, listen to the outcome of this. And the outcome of this is this, that as we each contribute our gifts, we will build up the body of Christ. Basically, we will strengthen ourselves. In fact, verse 16 strengthens that point and says, from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In fact, it's at this point that I want to celebrate all cell leaders, section leaders, zone leaders, regional leaders, cell hosts, all your interns. Thank you so much for just coming on board to support the vision that God has given us. You are doing your part, and together we are strengthening the believers as they come to your home cell over the weekend. I know we are online right now, but in the normal setting, I just want to say thank you so much for your energy. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for contributing your gift and your skill to the body of Christ. The volunteers who serve over the weekend and do different kinds of things, thank you so much. But I want to challenge you, if you're sitting out there and you're not contributing your gift, now is the time to consider. Ask God, what should I do? What can I contribute to the body of Christ? You need to. You see, the church is not like a football pitch where there's 60,000 spectators and there's only 22 players in the field. No, we are equipping you to all be on the field, because every one of you has something you can contribute to the body of Christ. And the scripture continues to tell us in verse 13 that we need to continue doing this until, listen to this, until we have reached the unity in the faith. That means that we reach the time where we hold the same belief in Christ and we live and proclaim this faith. It says we need to contribute our gifts until we all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. That means that each one of us needs to have a personal, intimate, experiential knowledge with Jesus Christ. My experience will be different from your experience. So we each need to have an encounter with Jesus. That's something we need to become aware of. And as we continue to do this over and over and over and over, the scripture says the goal for this is that we might become mature spiritually. You and I need to mature in the things of God. You cannot just sit back there and be a baby all your life. You need to grow up. You need to be mature and contribute to the body of Christ. Verse 14 says this. As we continue to grow and build ourselves up, verse 14 helps us to appreciate this. We will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. When you are equipped and empowered with the truth of God's word, when you are grounded in the word of God, one of my favorite scriptures is Colossians chapter 6. Now that you have received Christ, continue to be rooted and grounded and established in him. As you are established and grounded in Christ, you will not be swayed by the false doctrines that are around. As you're in the Bible, as you're in the scriptures, as you listen to your teacher, as you listen to your pastor, as they're teaching you the truth of God's word, you will be grounded and you will not be waved back and forth. You will not be hopping from fellowship to fellowship or from church to church. You will sit in your congregation and you will contribute your gifting to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Basically speaking, together, Christ becomes the source of our growth. But Christ also is the goal of our growth. He becomes the standard of our maturity. Not men, but Christ Jesus becomes the standard of our maturity. It's unfortunate that many people's standards have been narrowed down to some men and women in the city, in the world. I want to challenge you today. Mature so that Christ will be the standard by which you live. So here's my challenge to you as I bring this to a close. Rather than walk from church to church, looking for blessing, looking for prophecy, looking for anointing, would you sit where the Lord has allowed you to be? If the church is a wrong church, they're preaching a doctrine that is against the Bible, walk away, find a church that preaches what's in the scriptures, that teaches according to the word of God, be grounded in the word of God, be built up, be strengthened in your faith, and also thereafter, contribute your gift to build the whole body of Christ Jesus. So if Paul is telling us, as a quick reminder, that we need to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. But also together, we each need to contribute our gift to the body of Christ so that together we might mature in Christ Jesus as each part plays its role. And we do this for one reason, that the world will know that Jesus came, that the gospel is true. So I want to challenge you today. Would you make this a priority if you are a believer? But maybe you're not yet a believer, and you're hearing me talk about the gospel. I want to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus today, because the gospel is simply this. God loved the world. He gave us His Son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sin, so that when you put our faith in Jesus, guess what will happen? We will become sons and daughters of God, and we will inherit eternal life. You have to make a choice today. Will you make that decision and commit your life to Christ? In fact, if you're making that decision right now, I want you to say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son who paid the price for my sin. I put my faith in Him. I commit my life to Him. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you've just said that prayer, you are now a part of God's family. You have come into this amazing family of Christ Jesus. So we would like to help you to grow in your faith, like I've just taught. We would like to help you grow in your faith. So write to us, connect@watotochurch.com, or just click the link that's on your screen right there, and we'll be more than glad to get in touch with you. Otherwise, thank you so much for tuning in today. And just before I get off the stage, please don't tune out. We have more in store for you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.